Welcome. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we progress as we ponder what is happening in the strange and unusual world of the unknown. Now, let me just tell you how things get astray in this crazy field. So, for example, the company that makes our forum software has an area in their forum where they talk about different things, and somebody put up a thread, "Do you believe in UFOs?" And they have a poll where most of the people who participated believe in UFOs. Okay, fine. Fair enough. And then some guy comes in here the other day, some joker, and he starts wondering why someone put up a blog entry saying that the Paracast runs too many commercials. Now, what does that have to do with whether you believe in UFOs? What do you think, Chris?
I don't know. Maybe aliens are starting to commercialize their presence or something. You got me.
It doesn't make sense. But the other issue here is that the person who put this up took it down because he realized it's a ridiculous discussion. And in point of fact, we run the same number of commercials as any commercial radio show in the U.S. within a minute, 1 minute more or less, whatever. Same number of commercials. So why is it a crime for us to run ads and not a crime for all these other shows to run ads? Coast to Coast, Rush Limbaugh.
There's nothing criminal about that. What's criminal is that we don't get any money from those ads that the network runs. That's criminal.
I know if I was Rush Limbaugh or Alex Jones or one of these other people, I'm sure they not only get a paycheck from their network, they get a piece of all those ads. They get a piece of the action. But the deal that a lot of radio hosts have is the one we have, which is they distribute the show, they give us so many minutes per hour to run our commercials, and then they have so many minutes per hour to run their commercials, and they leave open other minutes for local stations to run their ads. So the local stations get paid for their ads, the network gets paid for their ads, and we, if we sell enough ads, get paid for ours. But of course, we haven't yet sold enough ads. There you go.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Right. So the other way of being able to boost the show is, number one, to get more stations. We get more stations, we can go to an advertiser and say, look, we have all these stations, we have the worldwide presence of the Paracast, and that means it's a good place for your ad. And that way, those advertisers will come to us, they give us a salary, we don't have to ask listeners to give us donations. I mean, it works out perfectly, don't you think?
Yeah, in a perfect world.
Assuming a perfect world. Oh, yeah, that's how the business. Anyway.
Well, I have a little announcement.
Sure.
On more of a positive note.
We need one nowadays.
Yeah. Other than the fact that it was 8 degrees here last night, which pretty rare for this part of the world. But I have decided what my next book's going to be, Gene. It'll be out this fall. And it kind of dovetails nicely with today's guest. I attempted to shop a book which I would like to consider as a definitive book on the cattle mutilation phenomenon or the unexplained livestock death mystery, if you will. And I got 21 straight rejections from the publishing industry. Each of the letters sent to my agent had either the word fear or afraid in it, which kind of clued me in that maybe the timing wasn't right. So I shelved the project for 12, 13 years, and now it has been revived, and I will be releasing Stalking the Herd, which will be hopefully the definitive objective look at this particular mystery that we'll be discussing today with our guest, Werner Bock.
Okay, definitive guide. If Chris O'Brien does it, I agree. Who's the publisher?
It'll be Adventures Unlimited Press. David was the one that said, hey, you know, what about this? I had several book ideas, and I'd given him this particular proposal years ago, and he gave it back to me and said, hey, how about this? And I said, sold American.
Okay. What can I say? It sounds good to me. And I wish you the best of luck with the book. We'll be talking more about it as we progress.
Yep.
Give people some hints about it. And maybe we'll have some special contests and such. and we'll use the book as a premium to boost the interest. Let's really work on this. It sounds like it's going to be a really great project. Let's get it on the New York Times best-selling list.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, very few books on the paranormal ever get to that great place. Now, let me tell you how some books get on there. You know, you have some books written by authors with a certain political bent. And what they do is you see them on the New York Times bestseller list because maybe some organization, political action committee, will buy up 100,000 books and give them away as a premium for people who give donations. But as far as the measurement of bestsellers are concerned, they just sold 100,000 books.
That's an idea.
So, I mean, if Bob Bigelow wanted to give away, you know, like a million copies of your book, and you're getting a buck or two a book,
Hey, that sounds good to me. Hopefully I'll be able to get him to comment on the Sherman Ranch mutilation cases, which will be included in the book, especially the calf case, which is one of the stranger documented cases of all time, in my estimation. So, but we'll have to see.
That'll be this fall, so we know that Chris O'Brien's going to be a busy bee to write that book. I wish you best of luck. I might be doing a book, too, with my first wife, Geneva Hagen, and that is a collection of all the material that we assembled from this magazine we put together years ago called Caveat Emptor, because we have rare interviews there with people who never get interviewed. In the history of UFO research, how many times have you seen an interview with Ray Palmer? Raymond A. Palmer, of course, the dad of our guest from last week. How many times have you seen an interview with Richard Shaver? And we have that kind of thing. We have interviews with people who were never interviewed. How about Curtis and Mary Fuller? Who were they? They were the co-founders of Fate Magazine with Ray Palmer. And where would paranormal research be without Ray Palmer, Fate Magazine, all the interests that he and the Fullers brought to this field of research over the years? So we have that collection, and we're working on some way to first digitize all the content, because remember, this is a printed magazine that came out at a time before it was such a thing as desktop publishing. Let me amend that. The last couple of issues were done in the era of desktop publishing, so we have to scan or otherwise put this thing together so that we can get all the text in there and decide what books to include, and probably we'll be around with this book summer or fall. We'll have to see. So we're all busy with our book projects.
Yep. Sounds like it.
Right.
Good luck with yours.
Thank you, and best of luck with yours. I'm really looking forward to reading it. Maybe he'll get me a chance to read the book before it goes to print. Maybe he'll take advantage of my free editorial services that I give to friends who are long-suffering co-hosts. And I'm sure he will.
Oh,
send me the manuscript. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of you, man.
All right, good. Good to hear it.
Talking about cattle mutilations or mysterious cattle deaths. And this is a controversial subject, but a very important subject, especially, you know, if you have a farm. You have to wonder what's going on here. What about the unsolved livestock deaths? And we feature a special episode about it this week, Chris.
Yeah, this is one of the more peculiar cases that I've come across that have all the telltale marks of some sort of societal manipulation program going on by the Canadian government. And we're going to get into that. And we're going to try to hold Werner back a little bit. He's very, very keen to be on the show. We may have to do a two-parter with him because this is a very, very complex case that goes all the way back to the mid-70s. And Werner is a man on a mission. He's quite adamant that he's been targeted by nefarious agencies north of the border. And it's not only him. It's other nearby ranchers in the Maritime provinces. He's all the way over in the Atlantic time zone. So this is going to be, I think, a very interesting and intriguing examination of an aspect of this mystery that doesn't get the kind of press that the aliens gathering genetic material researchers would have garnered over the years. So
Werner Bock on unsolved livestock deaths. Joining Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Hello, You know, for many of us, so much of our jobs are tied to our office computers. We have networks, special programs, important files. You feel chained to your office just to be productive. Well, here's some good news. There is a better way. It's one I've used myself. It's called GoToMyPC. It's a secure remote access tool from Citrix that turns any computer, tablet, or smartphone into your office computer. How about that? With GoToMyPC, you can access your entire network, use any program, save, edit, send any file from anywhere. Don't even need to worry about those flash drives. My listeners, by the way, can try GoToMyPC free for just 30 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code podcast. Then download the free app to your mobile device. That's GoToMyPC.com. The promo code is podcast.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
I have been asked to announce that federal judge Walter J. Skinner has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with a low-cost automotive accessory called Platinum 22, which meets or exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. To learn if Platinum 22 will give you 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS or 1-800-537-7427.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're joined on the Paracast with Ian and Chris this week with Werner Bach. He is a farmer from Canada. One of the farmers in the Maritime Provinces of Canada, and he has got quite a few fascinating, possibly frightening stories to tell. Werner, welcome to the Paracast.
Yeah, good afternoon, and well, I hope it won't be boring to the audience, and I think it's high time the people, especially in North America, that they start waking up and come out of that virtual reality.
Well, we definitely want to be out of our virtual realities, because if we're watching 24/7 cable news in America, you know you're in a virtual reality. Okay, so before we talk so much about the things that have happened to you, let's talk about your background. You've been a farmer for a number of years. Is this a family business or what?
No, I'm 70 years old. I just made it the big 3 score and 10. And I grew up on a small farm over there in Germany. But I didn't see much of a future, because most of the land I farmed, it was on a lease basis. And the fields, they were scattered around an expanding town of roughly about 20,000 people. And there was, quite a bit developing activity going on, and I would lose steadily farmland where I put a lot of work in. I would lose it for subdivisions and schools and so on.
So this is basically the authorities coming to you and saying, we'll take your land for these other purposes?
No. As I mentioned before, I farmed on leased. Most of the land I farmed on was leased land.
If they lease you the land, then they have the option to say, we're going to unlease it.
Yeah, as I say, when the sale breaks lease, when the owners decided that they could make more money by selling the land for building lots, then I was off, and the fields where I'd put a lot of work in, I basically was losing it. And it was, from year to year, it was a hassle to have always enough land to farm on. And I was getting sick and tired of it, so at the age of 27, I decided to look for what you call greener pasture. And at the time, the province of New Brunswick in eastern Canada, they were looking for immigrant farmers from Europe, especially from Germany and Holland, to pick up where the local farmers had left off. The year earlier, in 1968, I had come over here for about a couple of weeks, and I looked around, and there were huge tracts of good farmland, what we consider to be good farmland, had been abandoned and that were growing up in bushes. And while at the same time the province was importing most of its food, what easily could be grown here. And we saw it as an opportunity. The land was cheap, So in 1969, early 1969, I came over here. And I bought a farm with the Federal Lending Agency, the Farm Credit Corporation. And I had to take on a 25-year mortgage. And the rest, and with the money what I had basically bought over from the old country.
Okay, so here you're in a situation where you buy the land. They can't come in there and throw you out, or can they?
Well, the way Agenda 21 is progressing now, especially south of the border, I think, the rules have changed. There are basically all rules off. The one who decides what the rules are is now big government.
Okay, so when did things get strange for you on the farm?
Well, the first 5 years, as I say, I bought a farm that was half forest land. Basically, the forest had been stripped by the previous owner, and half of it was farmland. But a lot of the fields, they needed drainage, and I had to, clear the bushes off. And the total was about 640 acres, and pretty near half, half farmland and half forest land. But since the woodlands had been stripped, there was no way to make a living off the woodlands, and I came over here anyway to farm, So the next few years, I put my nose to the grindstone, did a lot of hard work, cleaned up the fields and drained them, lined the fields and to get them back into production. And but there were still some more years ahead where I had to do preparation. And in 1973, my dad passed away over in the old country, and he left me a piece of ground. So I sold it in 1974, and I figured for the next few years I could pasture cattle, and beef cattle, and it basically cow-calf operation, and it would leave me some more freedom where I could do the other catch-up work on the land and get it basically the infrastructure done, so I could really get into farming, And as I say, in late summer 1974, I bought a herd of beef cattle, and I picked them out out of a herd of several hundred. And anyway, and I thought I was well set, you know, financially secure. But by early 1975, some unusual things happened that didn't match. During the night, vehicles were parked there on the road. This is, you know, basically a rural area, you know. The next door neighbors on one side, they were about a quarter of a mile away, and the same way on the other side, about half a mile away, you know. And when you see vehicles stopping there and going with searchlights over the over your buildings at 3 o'clock at night, you know, it makes you wonder what's going on, you know. And then cattle started getting sick.
Verna, this is Chris. Welcome to the Paracast, and thank you so much for joining us, and so we can hear your story. But my quick question is, how large of a herd did you start out with? How many head of livestock did you have?
Oh, I started out with 32 beef cows.
And what kind of cows were they?
They were most at the time they were mostly Shorthorn crosses, and that's what I saw around here. The Shorthorn crosses, they had they were good milking cows, so when the calves got plenty of milk, then they would have good gains, you know. And in the fall, you could wean, or early winter, you could wean a good sized calf.
Remember, we're not all farmers, and we don't completely understand what you're talking about. So, what is the goal of this? Because, like I said, this is to me Greek. I grew up in the city and lived mostly in the city.
Yeah. So basically, you know, I went into beef cattle, and as I explained earlier, it puts the least demands on my work, and it gave me some time to do some more preparatory work on the farm, you know, to get the land in a better shape and do more infrastructure work, like do more drainage work and line the fields and clean up more of the fields. But in the meantime, a cattle could readily graze on the field. You know, that's the reason why I decided for the next few years go into beef cattle. I had been raising cattle over in the old country. I was milking cows, and I was very familiar with all the different type of crop farming. I was growing sugar beets. I was growing potatoes, and I was growing grain.
We got more to come. Werner Bock will tell us about what started happening to his livestock on his farm. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hey neighbors, got a small business or a large company that needs to be online 24/7? Well, here's the little secret. To make sure your site is always online, you need world-class DNS service from Dyn. That's D-Y-N. For years, Dyn has been helping companies ranging from the scrappy young startup to the giant media moguls of the world with making sure websites are fast and always available and that your emails are getting delivered. DYN. Get faster internet by using Dyn for DNS. Visit dyn.com/podcast30. Fill out the contact form or start shopping right away and save 30% by using the promo code podcast30 at checkout. Again, visit dyn.com, that's dyn.com/podcast30. Check them out today.
Stop the pain from broken, chipped, and damaged nails and eliminate toenail fungus with a revolutionary new nail hardener, Nails of Steel. Just apply one drop of Nails of Steel over natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time and it's guaranteed. Try this all-natural antifungal and herbal formula for women and men. Call 816-896-8307 or get free shipping at nailsofsteel.com. Nailsofsteel.com. It's like a salon in a bottle.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we are talking to Werner Bock, who's a farmer from Canada, who, as a matter of fact, there's a news story that I was just looking at as Chris and I were putting together our notes for the show. But before we get into that, at what point did bad things start happening on the farm, Werner?
By the beginning of March 1975. As I say, I noticed some unusual things happening around here. I live in a rural countryside, and as I said, at 3 o'clock at night, vehicle would stop on the road, go with searchlight over the buildings. And at first I thought that some fellows were looking for cheap beef, you know. But I had marked down the license plate number, and then several more of those incidences happened. And every time I marked down the license plate numbers and gave them to the RCMP, you know, and to check out who that who it was, you know. Because, as I say, you have to keep your eyes open, you know. And at the time, I figured the fellas were looking for cheap beef, you know. And what I said before, this was a sparsely populated rural countryside, and neighbor on one side was about a quarter of a mile away, the neighbor on the other side about a half a mile away, you know.
And so this means here then, if your neighbors were pulling the stuff, you'd know about
it. At the time, I wasn't aware of any of the neighbors, you know, but then about a month and a half later, cattle started dying. The first cows had died the night before. The neighbor on the other side, I see him parked across from the loafing barn in my field. At 10 o'clock at night, it was dark, and this was by the end of April, and he was parked there about for 10, 15 minutes, and then he started up his vehicle again, and I saw him driving by. I noticed one burnt-out taillight, and I realized who it was, so I jumped in the car, followed him up, and he stopped, and I said, what are you looking for? And he said, oh, I'm looking for my daughter's cat. He was living three-quarters of a mile away. It was Yeah, he was living about half a mile away, and it was stuck dark, you know, and looking under that conditions for his daughter's cat. But anyway, the next morning, the best cow in the herd, it was a red shorthorn. This was by the end of April. She had already a full summer hair, you know, the nice short hair with a strip along the back. Basically, the animal was in the top shape. And in the morning, at the time, I was feeding square bales. I was putting out the bales there a little distance from the barn in a half circle, you know, so all the animals had an even chance to eat the hay, you know. And this cow didn't come over for feeding. Generally, she was always the most aggressive one. She was standing aside, so I called her. She wouldn't come, so I walked over, slapped her on the back, and I said, "Come on, girl, get your hay." She walked a couple of steps. And she fell right on her knees, and then she had trouble getting up. And when she fell on her knees, she basically, you know, emptied herself in back, you know. And I'm not supposed to use any profane words, you know. But all that was coming out was clear mucus and water. And then she had trouble getting up. And my thought was, she must have got something real corrosive inside, you know. And she tries to, you know, the body tries to flush it out with, by putting out excessive fluid. But anyway, I phoned up immediately the veterinarian, Dr. Least from Sussex, young veterinarian. He came out at 10 o'clock, and he said, "Oh, yeah, it could be winter dysentery." But I was up to snuff, you know, symptoms of different illnesses and diseases, you know. And so I said, no, it wouldn't be winter dysentery. Because at winter dysentery, they have internal bleeding, and then the stool would be black. And he said, oh, it could be most anything. But anyway, he left me some sofa boluses, and until I knew what was going on with the cow, I didn't want to put any more chemicals in her, you know. But right. Anyway, she went down at noontime, and I lifted up. This was by the end of April. And the run of the cattle, you know, it was a little bit, you know, wet. And I didn't have a four-wheel drive tractor, so I lifted up and I put a nice bed of straw under. And I covered her up. And the last time I checked the cow at night was around 2 o'clock at night. She still was alive but barely breathing. And it was just a little bit frost, maybe about 3 degrees or so that night. And I left the tractor with the front end loader.
And she didn't make it. Now, how about your neighbors? Were they, Werner, were your neighbors also experiencing unusual symptoms of their cattle?
Well, some of the neighbors, they told me that there was something going on, and they didn't know what happened, you know. And basically... over the years, with this racket that has been going on, I don't think I was the only one. But a few months later, I found out that there was a farmer at the outskirts of Sackville. He had lost 65 head of cattle, a dairy farmer.
So these all died?
And that farmer, I spoke to him personally, and I knew him from a few years earlier. And he was basically being given a kind of...
Who's given a runaround?
No, nonsense.
Deliberately
lied to by the veterinarian.
Right. Well, now, we're talking about early spring of 1975. Were you aware at the time that there was an outbreak of cattle mutilation cases all across the United States and in parts of Canada? Were you aware of these waves of animal unexplained livestock deaths?
I was completely unaware of it. And my hunch was, from the symptoms the cow displayed, was that she had been exposed to those very corrosive chemicals like they're being used in dairy barns.
Oh, and, so you thought that this was a reaction to some sort of introduced chemical?
Yeah, that they had basically one way to get into a cow to get you know, solution into her is you take a long-necked bottle, like a wine bottle, you put it in. You grab the cow with the two fingers in the nose, lift the head up, and shove the wine bottle in, and let it run in, and then the animal swallows it and goes down.
But let me ask you a question here. For what purpose would somebody want to sabotage your livestock and kill them?
Then in the follow-up time, I had to look for what was the reason, who was involved. And then I had to consider when I bought the farm, it was a lower farm, and then it was an upper farm. The upper farm was about a mile and a half up the road. And I have about a total of at least 3.5 miles of road frontage overlooking a nice valley within easy commuting distance from the next city, mountain. They call it the Hub City, one of the Hub Cities here in the Maritime Provinces, you know.
I'm still not understanding here. So what is the motive that you have really good property that they want to take over by putting you out of business?
This is what I had to consider, that it wasn't. It was about real estate. And what I found out later on, the families that were involved, two young fellas, the year before, or 2 years earlier, they didn't have 2 cents to rub together. One was a plumber, and one became an electrician. And within a year, they bought a farm. One fella who just had come off school and had started up his electrician business, and built a house, bought half a farm. You know, he sure didn't get anything from his dad because his dad was a drunk, you know. But then I heard from other people that there was some monkey business going on in the provincial government where there were some loan frauds. You know, some of them, they're boasting, you know, when they had bought a second and third farm, that they had inflated the purchase price. So they had pretty near the whole purchase price of the farm as a cheap loan, finance as a cheap loan from the provincial government, from the Farm Adjustment Board.
Well, were you ever approached by real estate developers or anyone that attempted to buy your farm?
This wasn't about real estate developers.
I'll tell you what, we'll try to find out what it was about. As you can tell, neighbors, when the discussion gets down on the farm, I'm a bit out of my element. As we progress with Werner Bach, joining Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig.
Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
We have Werner Bach. He's a farmer from Canada who encountered a problem where it looked like his livestock was being killed, perhaps, with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. So, okay, it's not real estate developers, then who would it be who would be causing this to happen?
Those two young fellows. About a year and a half, 2 years earlier, they didn't have 2 cents to rub together. And within a year, they suddenly go on a spending spree. So who was financing them?
Don't see the connection. Now, these were the guys that owned the farm before you, or they were nearby? What's the connection to you?
It was a neighboring farm. And the fellow who was at 10 o'clock at night, right across from my loafing barn in my field, was parked there for a quarter of an hour, and the next morning, the best cow in the herd is sick, and she dies the next night.
Oh, so you're saying that you tracked down who these people were spotlighting your cattle, and that's who you found out they were.
Spotlighting my cattle. This happened there the previous month, and I had noticed down the license plate numbers, you know.
Because I understand. I didn't catch the connection. Okay, so you think these guys were hired by somebody? Now, what did you think at the time was going on? Do you think you were being victimized by the government, or do you think it was private concerns? Well, what was your thinking back in 75?
Basically, what later on came together about in 1976. I had one evening a visit from an RCMP officer who was new to the detachment, and we were going over the events that had happened. And he said to me, "You just must have got into one of their rallies." As I say, it's a whole long story. He said, last year they started up in Nova Scotia. This year they are in New Brunswick. And that's the way it will go all across the country. And then he added, you know, people are getting greedy. This is what the year earlier I had already concluded with my investigation, that it was organized crime, starting out at the grassroots level. And they were playing for keeps.
So, Werner, you're kind of hinting around here that this is some sort of organized criminal enterprise that was being enacted on you. Now, you've lost how many head of cattle since then? About 250, if memory serves me correct?
No, the last 17 years, I lost over 320, and many more animals had been mutilated.
Okay, well, how many out of those 320 animals were actually mutilated?
No, 320 were killed.
Were killed, but how many were mutilated?
at least half of the herd, the remaining herd.
And can you describe the types of evidence that would lead you to believe they were mutilated?
I made, 2.5 years ago, I made a 75-minute documentary. It's called Farmer's Ordeal. And there is lots of the evidence is there, but I got thousands more photos and files and everything. And it basically points to a huge conspiracy that reaches into the high places of the government. And as I say, I have been very active about the last 2 years, for over 2 years, you know, on the internet. There are different networks had me on as a guest. First time in 2009 on the 4th of July, Dr. Rebecca Carley, you know, on the RBN network. She had me on for 2 hours as a guest. The next one was Darren Weeks, Govern America, on RBN. Then Maggie Ryan.
Well, what sort of response have you gotten from the investigation community? I know you've talked with Ted Oliphant. You spoke with Linda Howe. Who did you approach first, Werner, in the investigation community, and when did you approach them?
In the investigation community, I approached about 10 years ago Colin Keller from NITS.
What did Colin say?
Colin Keller.
Yeah, he worked with Dr. George Onnette at the National Institute of Discovery Science.
I spoke to Dr. George Onnette about a couple of weeks ago.
Did you ever send them samples, forensic samples,
Colm Keller, I sent him about, 8 years ago, I sent him photos I'd taken about documenting the injuries on the animals. And at the time, the internet just was in its beginning stage, and as I say, I'm a dummy on the internet, but there was an internet outfit here in the village, and the guy, he scanned the photos, those were Polaroid photos I had taken, and before he sent them, I had to look at the photos, and I said, good quality, the scans are good quality, you can send them. And a few days later, or a week later, I phoned up Colm Keller, and he said, I got the photos, and they were in real, poor quality. So something must have happened in between. But then a while later, I became aware of NITS at the time I used to listen to Coast to Coast. And I listened to the interview when, I don't know if it was Art Bell or George Norrie who interviewed Colm Keller,
That's about when his book, Hunt for the Skinwalker, came out. Did he ever ask you, or did Dr. Onnette ever ask you to provide them with suspended forensic samples in formalin, or did they ask for any plant and soil samples? Did they ever send anybody out?
At the time, I wasn't aware of Dr. Onnette. I only contacted Colm Keller, and I sent him the picture. The Polaroid picture documenting the burns and the injuries and some of the autopsy photos of those animals.
And, said that he couldn't really tell anything because of the poor quality of the photographs?
That's what he said, that he received them in very poor quality. And I doubted that very much because the scans the fellow had taken here at the local internet center, internet services, they were of good quality. But then a while later, I happened to listen to Coast to Coast again, and it was mentioned that a fellow by the name of Bigelow was basically bankrolling that organization, NITS, and that he was one big real estate developer in the southwestern United States.
Well, we've covered the subject of NIDS and Bigelow and his activities extensively here on the Paracast. But my question is, did they ever follow up with you on this? Did they make any attempt at all to help you?
Oh, they never made any attempt.
That's peculiar because generally they were pretty good at following up on leads like this. Now, did you ever have any cattle that were actually surgically attacked and disfigured?
Most of the time they used lasers and burned holes right into the cattle. But what I've been documenting, what was the most deadly technology that was being used, where they were modifying the atmospheric air, like the oxygen and the nitrogen.
Okay, now that gets to be a bit strange. How would they...
That is not strange.
Okay.
I did some research that was published in PubMed. And the earliest research about exposure to modified atmospheric air was being done in the 40s of last century, where workers in industries were exposed to nitrogen oxide and to ozone and the health implication. This is an old hat. And it is well known, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to find out, to know that when atmospheric air, which is composed of 76% nitrogen and 23% oxygen and carbon dioxide, and you got water vapors and you got certain other polluting, you know, like sulfur and dioxide or what the figure is.
Yeah, sulfur dioxide, just regular pollution from car exhaust.
Polluting gases. But the main component of the atmospheric air is nitrogen. And when nitrogen is exposed to combustion heat or to any amount of heat that causes it to oxidize, then you end up with the three different nitrogen oxide, from nitrogen oxide to nitrogen dioxide to nitrogen trioxide. And all of them are highly toxic gases.
So basically here, to try to summarize all this, someone is trying to poison the livestock using some kind of atmospheric manipulation. This is getting to be more and more fascinating, folks, and there's a lot more to go to explain what's going on and also to explain whether or not this has anything to do with a paranormal cause or something that's deliberately done by human intervention. And remember, neighbors, if you have a comment or a question about the PowerCast, don't forget to write us, news@thepowercast.com. Once again, that's news@thepowercast.com. Or send us a tweet on Twitter. We're known as The PowerCast. Werner Bach is our guest with Gene and Chris. You're in
The PowerCast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Feeling like there are too many pressures and demands on you? Losing sleep, worrying about tests and schoolwork, eating on the run because your schedule is just too busy? You may be under too much stress, and it may be affecting your mind. Get your mental edge back with Nootropic Mind Power from MindRegard.com. Nootropic Mind Power is not a drug, but a natural supplement. Its 12 powerful ingredients are natural and non-GMO, plus it's gluten-free, wheat-free, and formulated by Americans for Americans by an NSF-certified laboratory. Nootropic Mind Power is available at MindRegard.com, spelled MindRegard.com, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Free your mind with Nootropic Mind Power cognitive supplement from MindRegard.com. MindRegard. Clearly see tomorrow and yesterday. Today.